We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Getting ready for Iowa State, a place where Oklahoma State has had just a variety of outcomes, but most recently, some big come-from-behind wins, and that could be exactly what the doctor ordered for this Oklahoma State team. It's lost two in a row coming in. And here to help us get ready for that game is former Cowboy quarterback and NFL quarterback Brandon Weeden. So let's start with this. We know it's been a rough time for Spencer Sanders, Oklahoma State's redshirt freshman quarterback. This is not uncommon for first-year starters to go through a bumpy time. But what would you say to him? What's the best thing he can do right now, not only to help himself, but as the CEO of the organization, so to speak? What advice maybe would you throw at him right now generally about things he can do to help himself and help his teammates?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not in the building with him, so I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes throughout the week. But, you know, maybe watch these last couple games a little closer and see, you know, maybe if there's some spots where I can get the ball out a little quicker, some easier throws, you know, maybe some mechanics. Because to me, like we've talked a little bit, his mechanics are a little bit out of whack. I feel like he's, you know, his footwork is a little out of whack. He's bouncing around a little bit. He's falling back on some throws. He's getting a little long on some throws as far as his release go. You know, and is that the reason he's turning the ball over? No, but, you know, that could be a reason why he's maybe not as accurate as he could be and has been in some games. But, I just think, you know, block out all the noise. When it's all said and done, block out all the noise. Don't listen to anything. Put your phone down. Get off Twitter. Get off Instagram. And, you know, put your head down and go to work. You know, this football team needs him. I mean, they need him to come out and play his best in order for them, you know, to have a chance Saturday, but going forward. So don't dwell on the past. The past is the past. Learn from it, you know. And like I said, do all you can to block out the noise. I know this day and age it's a little bit harder than most. But, you know, the Twitter guys, you know, they've got a lot of power with their thumbs. They can talk all this noise, but they're not out there firing bullets. So just block it all out. Go play ball, take care of it, and, you know, rally the troops around you.
Yeah, I was going to say, so how do you do that, rallying the troops? Because the quarterback is the guy, and a lot of times the quarterback has, it seems to me, and of course you would know better than anybody, but they have to be the guy even when times are tough that, hey, you're the guy that keeps everybody feeling good. So when you're struggling as a quarterback and you're young, so how do you pull all the guys together and make sure everybody's on the same page and that you're sort of managing the organization when you're struggling?
It's challenging. I mean, I went through it in my first year in Cleveland as a rookie. You know, I'm not playing well, so it's hard for a guy that's not really playing well to be the vocal leader, to step in the huddle and say some things that maybe, you know, a little bit out of your comfort zone because you're not playing well. You know, when you play well, that leadership thing kind of takes care of itself, if you will. You don't have to say as much. You just go out and lead by example and do the right thing. So, you know, now that he's not playing well, you know, he's going to have to step out of his comfort zone. He's going to be a little more vocal. He needs to, you know, in the huddle, maybe communicate more with offensive linemen, communicate more with the backs, communicate with maybe some coaches. Just, this sounds bad, but don't, you know, fake it, if you will, till you make it. And right. Go out and do the things you need to do vocally. You know, say, hey, look, that's on me. He seems like a really good kid, very smart kid. So, you know, he knows that he can play better. He's a very talented guy. Just, you know, do what you can. Be positive. And that positivity, in my opinion, will rub off on the rest of the guys. If you're just sulking and, oh, woe is me, you know, everybody sees that, you know, especially at the quarterback position. So it's not easy when you're not playing well. I've been there. I've done it. It's very, very, very hard. But you got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to go in and say, look, I'm going to play better. You know, you guys trust me, and be vocal about it. And hopefully that will be the beginning steps going forward to get this thing going in the right direction.
Can it turn really fast, or typically does it take a little bit of time?
It can turn fast. If you go out in the first week, the first, you know, I don't know, quarter, two quarters at Iowa State, and you play well, and you throw a couple touchdowns, and you lead a couple good drives, now everybody's like, oh, yeah. Now you kind of forget what's going on in the past. Now it's like, okay, we're on to this one. Now we got some momentum, especially if he's playing well. So it can turn fast. You know, it won't – players have short memories at times, you know, especially skill guys and especially the offensive linemen. I mean, they don't remember what happened last play. They don't – I mean, they dang sure don't remember what happened last week. So just go out and if you're playing well early on this next game, ride that positive momentum throughout the course of the game and the rest of the season.
And the thing is, too, when you have Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace and some of the natural ability that Spencer Sanders has, that makes you think it could turn really fast, because sometimes it would seem teams get in an offensive rut, and it's personnel-driven. There's just – there may not be as much natural ability there as other teams have, and so you're in that catch-up mode. There's probably enough here that if things got going in a positive direction, as they have at times this year, it could change fast, because you've got some guys for sure.
Absolutely. There's a ton of talent on this offense. And, you know, again, we talk about him every week, but, you know, Chuba's having a historic year, you know, and when things aren't going great, it's not a bad thing as a quarterback to turn around and hand to a back like that, you know, or, you know, get the throw an easy little completion to a guy like Tylan. And, you know, those things usually can kind of create a snowball effect. If you're a quarterback that has really bad players around you, now it's tough. And now it's a challenge. And you're like, gosh, I don't know where to go with the ball. I don't really trust anybody. But he's got guys he can trust. So, you know, he didn't play his best. He played pretty good for three quarters really last week. And I'll be very honest. I think Tylan played his worst game of the year. You know, he caught a few hitches and caught one deep ball, but he didn't win a lot of one-on-one matchups. So, I mean, it's not just the quarterback. The quarterback's going to get the blame. He's going to get too much credit, so on and so forth. But when the quarterback's struggling, everybody around him has to pick up their game that much more to make it easier on him and kind of alleviate some of that pressure. And Chuba's been doing that. He's had a heck of a year. But those guys, especially on the outside, those receivers, got to find a chance. When your number's called, you got to win and go make a play.
On defense, it seems like in segments, they've been really good. Going back a little bit to what happened last year, but not quite to that extent, although the last two games, the big plays have been an issue. There have been chunks of games where the defense has been quite good, and then the darn big plays have hit them. That's what happened last week against Baylor. The big plays are what hurt. And Baylor's got track guys at receivers, so that's going to happen from time to time.
It is. You know, it is. And, you know, you go back to the K-State game as a perfect example. I mean, well, they give up 9 first downs. I mean, that's playing some defense. In this league, if you give up 9 first downs, that is playing some defense. And so I don't care where you're at. In high school, at Stillwater High, that's playing defense. So they've got it in there. They've played extremely well, in my opinion, in spurts. You know, the first drive last week wasn't great, but they made some corrections and went out and played really 2.5, 3 good quarters of football after that. You know, they're going to give up their big plays to good offenses like that, like you said, with track guys. But I think, you know, again, this game is four quarters for a reason. You got to finish. You got to those units that are really good. You know, it takes 11 guys. The communication, the accountability. You know, I think they need to tackle better. I think, you know, all those things kind of snowball. And if you just let up just a little bit, offenses, especially in this league, are good enough to take advantage and hit you for big plays. I mean, they give up, I think it was like 10 yards a play. That's not good enough. But you really break down the tape and you watch the tape, they play pretty good for three quarters.
Now you're facing an Iowa State team that hasn't lost a game in October since 2017. They seem to have found their stride offensively after kind of grinding the gears a little bit early in the year. Defensively, they're doing what they always do. I mean, it's hard to think in the Big 12 that, you know, Iowa State could be in the top 45 in total defense 3 years in a row, but here they are again. I think they're 30th. They've been in the top 45 the previous 2 years. What do you see from them on both sides of the ball that gets their attention? Because they're really one of the great turnaround stories of college football in maybe the last 30 to 40 years. I mean, they're on their way to another 8-win season. It'll only be the second time in school history they've had 8 wins in 3 years in a row. So they're doing things they've never done before. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, first defensively, you know, they do what they do, and they do it extremely well. You know, they're not the most complicated defense. They just – they have their scheme, what they believe in, and you can tell all 11 guys on the field are bought in. They play hard. They're very fundamentally sound. They don't make a ton of mistakes. It kind of reminds me of like the K-State days back in the day when they were – you know, Snyder really had those guys going. They were really fundamentally sound. They're not going to beat themselves and have a bunch of mental errors and stuff like that. You know, they're pressuring a little bit more now than maybe they have in the past, but – you know, you look back at their record. They've lost two games, and combined in those two losses is 3 points. You know, they had one-point loss at Iowa, which is a rivalry game, and then, you know, lost by two to, I believe it was Baylor.
Baylor kicked a field goal late to beat him after Iowa State came from way behind. They were down 20-0 and then took the lead. They could be undefeated.
That was kind of my point. They're right there. I mean, you know, they're in every game, and I think their defense kind of allows them to do that because they're not giving up a ton of points, not giving up a ton of big plays. So they're very good. Matt Campbell's got them playing well, and then offensively, I think their quarterback kind of starts with him. He's got a lot of experience, played a lot of ball. He's, in my opinion, a very underrated, if you will, quarterback. He runs the ball well in the zone read stuff. He throws it well. He's kind of the guy that makes it go. If he plays well and takes care of it and they run the ball effectively, they kind of control the clock and they do what they want to do. They want to play that style of game. They're a tough team to beat. So just like every week, I think from Oklahoma State's standpoint, they got to come out in the first couple possessions and start fast and, you know, try to get some points on the board early on and kind of ride that momentum throughout the course of the game.
You know, it's interesting. You look at their numbers from last week. They threw for 308 yards in the first half when they jumped out to that 27 lead at halftime. They threw it 24 times and ran it 11. In the second half, 13 running plays, 18 passes. They only had 21 second-half offensive plays. But in the second half, they rushed for 145 yards and only threw for 79. So they just flipped the switch. They used the pass to set up the run. So with them, and of course this is a wonderful thing on offense, you know, what do you give us? We'll take it. I mean, obviously, they felt like they needed to throw it in the first half. They did a great job throwing it. Second half, you know, the freshman tailback, Breece Hall, they found a freshman that can really be effective at tailback. He ends up rushing for 183 yards, and almost all of those yards came in the second half. And so it's an interesting dynamic. He had 10 rushes for 146 yards in the second half last week. So it's interesting. They can just flip it, and that's you don't see that every day.
Yeah, that's a kind of a recipe for success, obviously. I mean, if you're a play caller, I mean, those are the ones where, you know, that call sheet, it stays big because you can kind of close your eyes and point because, you know, you run the ball effectively. Obviously, that makes it a little bit easier in the passing game and vice versa. So, yeah, you know, this is, again, they're a very kind of old school. And they're not an old school team because they're kind of innovative as well. But they're old school in the fact that, you know, they don't have the Heisman front runners and the big, you know, name guys. They just do it as a unit and they do it well and they don't make a ton of mistakes and they're very fundamentally sound and they're a good football team. I mean, like you said, they could easily be undefeated right now. And yeah, that's, you know, that's a testament to what Matt Campbell's doing with that team.
Yeah, you get caught up in the fact that they struggled mightily against Northern Iowa in the opener. And some people say, well, they should have lost that game. And so, you know, I think sometimes I know for me, it's taken me a while to sort of recalibrate in terms of my thoughts on Iowa State, and then they lose to Iowa and they lose to Baylor. It's like, well, here we go. But you know what? That's what they've done. They've never played all that well in September. Then they hit October, and they haven't lost a game in October since 2017. They hit their stride, and it's happened again, and it seems to have happened on offense. They've had some injuries on defense. They've overcome those. So it'll be interesting. This would be a nice one to get, though, if you can get it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, one thing, you know, from a player's perspective, you know, when you lose a game at home that you feel like you had a chance to win, especially late, I always like to go on the road. That sounds crazy. But now it's us versus the world. You know, we're going to a stadium that's a pretty tough place to play, but trust me, I know from experience. And, you know, you go up there and, you know, now my goal is to shut everybody up. I want to go out there, I want to play well early and take the crowd out of it and just, you know – play on the road especially as a quarterback, I always found it challenging but extremely fun because, you know, again, no one there is rooting for you. It's you versus everybody, and I just think if you take that on, that persona, it can go a long way. It can kind of turn and flip the script a little bit. So if they, you know, my advice would be, you know, it's us versus them. Everybody's writing us off. Everybody's talking about how bad we've been playing. Blah blah blah. You know what? On to the next one. and let's go up there and see what we can do.
And on that note, we'll wrap things up. That's Brandon Whedon. I'm Dave Hunziker on the air at 12:30 from Ames, Iowa, the Cowboys and Cyclones Saturday. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.